So here we are, post Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
We might talk about a certain director's son's critiques of a movie, but I'm not going to use that guy's name because that guy doesn't need any more publicity for not liking a movie.
Sure.
Right,
And of course, we'll say up front, spoiler, 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 if you haven't seen the new Star Wars movie, just turn this off.
And, you know, I think that it's okay to have not seen this movie yet. For some reason, America's like, well, you had the weekend, so fuck you. Like, it's... It's the holiday season. Like, people have other shit to do. Like,
yeah.
I'm still on lockdown on spoilers. I mean, I've seen it. I'm not mouthing off in bathrooms or anything like that.
It's gotten, like, you're normally mouthing off in bathrooms.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's gotten a little egregious, and I'm trying to protect the people out there.
Exactly. Sure. Because you're a good person.
And, you know, I always have this beef with Neil deGrasse Tyson, despite liking Cosmos.
Right. Uh-huh.
But he was tweeting all the science facts of how Star Wars doesn't work, everyone.
Well, yeah.
Number one, no shit. But
it revolves around actual space magic, in case anyone is wondering.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, some people say it's like, well, Star Wars is more fantasy than sci-fi, so fuck you for critiquing it. But,
sure.
Like, going into the, like, oh, how the science... the Starkiller base wouldn't actually be able to blow those planets up. Well, if I didn't see the movie yet, now I know that all the Republic's planets or whatever gets blown up in the Halcyon system. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Like, here's the thing, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Critique shit like Gravity, The Martian.
Yep.
Shit that, like, wants to pass itself off as, like, believable, like, meat and potatoes science fiction kind
of
a thing.
Or existing in a real world at all. Right. Which Star Wars does not.
Those are attempting to be grounded. This is... in a different galaxy, in a different time. By the way, one of his critiques was like, "Well, the sound of the TIE fighters flying in is the same out of orbit as it is in orbit."
Oh man, you know what? Fold it up into a neat ball, put a bow on it, and fucking put it away, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Good catch, fella.
This is a on screen.
Oh, it is. It's a WHM on screen with Andrew, Eric, and Steve talking about Star Wars: The Force Awakens once again. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, turn it off.
You really...
Turn it off!
I think we could start, because it's been the most annoying part, Rey. And I think she's...
You mean critiques of Rey.
Critiques of Rey.
Oh, my God.
I think she's an amazing character.
Yep.
I think she's an amazing character in the long tradition of incredibly skilled Jedis that we've seen in these movies that get to do whatever the fuck they want. Because it's a movie about space magic yet again, and that makes you really good at everything.
And what was the condescending term that was being bandied about?
She's a Mary Sue, which is a fan fiction term for basically
I'm inserting myself into this as a perfect character.
Type of thing. Everyone has to stand around and say remark about, wow, how cool are you? How great you are at solving all the problems.
Everyone writing this, including that director's son, is like, apparently never heard of fucking Luke Skywalker.
Yep. Yeah,
and honest, like, to God.
And then there's like the complaints about this character are astronomical and they make no sense. Like, one of the ones I read was like, well, how did she get so good at using a staff? She's a woman. How does a woman use a staff?
I mean, that I think is obviously the biggest point of contention. If you have a problem with the fact that the star hero of this movie is a woman, dig a hole. Put yourself in the hole and then have your mother fucking bury you alive and kill you. Because what the fuck is your problem? Oh my God.
It's not even like a feminist thing. She's just the character. She's Luke Skywalker, but she happens to be a lady.
Yep.
And she does Luke Skywalker things, which is save the fucking universe and know how to do things that no human can do.
Right. And like Eric said, you didn't have beef with this convenience and expertise when it was a dude doing it.
Or in Anakin, who's like, oops, I just saved the galaxy. I'm a baby. Whoopsie doodle. And like everyone,
whoopsie doodle.
You know, like,
you're right, because a fucking baby 10-year-old would say whoopsie doodle when he accidentally massacres an entire fucking Star Destroyer's worth of people. Whoopsie doodle.
And this
nobody had a problem with it.
The staff point I was trying to make also is like, holy, you're critiquing this character to such a degree that her using a stick is suddenly a point of contention now that she probably used for years walking around
as a self-defense mechanism.
Totally. Yeah. You saw the fucking creeps on Jakku, man. You got to learn to defend yourself.
Absolutely.
But no. How how can a woman learn to defend herself? I'm a man on the internet, and I don't like movies anymore.
This is Cool Ranch Dorita Dust 69 signing off.
And so, also, the big other huge scene that people have a problem with, which is kind of one of my favorite scenes in the movie, is when she uses the Jedi mind trick. I think it's, you know what? Like, yeah, there's a little bit of you have to make a little bit of a narrative leap. Like, well, how does she know about it? Maybe. A, the Legend of the Jedi goes
I was
going to
say, the lore of the Jedi at this point.
And she's kind of like, oh, I kind of realize I'm a Jedi. I'm going to try this thing. It's the coolest scene in the movie because you don't see anyone else do that early in their career. And that tells you she's a really good Jedi.
I think it's totally fun because she had said, like, she had known, acknowledged the story of Luke Skywalker being a well-known legend. And I'm sure Jedi mind tricks were mentioned.
And here's the thing. In the scene where she uses the Jedi mind trick, right? In her head somewhere, she's thinking all of that.
Yep.
Oh, I heard of those things called Jedi mind tricks. I'm kind of realizing I'm a Jedi. Let's try this out.
I'm sure it won't work, but oops, it did.
But heaven the fuck forbid a character just internalizes something instead of spitting it out and spending 45 minutes practicing it like in a goddamn Marvel movie.
People need these origins. Like, where did she get bitten by a Jedi and I missed it? Did I miss that?
Oh, did she get bitten by that conehead Jedi? Oh, that's gross.
Oh, the guy from the prequels? What was his name? Fist...
Fist Fuckington?
Yeah.
I am Fist Fuckington. I honestly think the world's most dangerous Jedi.
His name was like Fist or something.
Was it really?
Who gives a fuck?
We should just get around. I love this movie. I was so blown away by this movie. Yep. It's Star Wars again, everybody. And everyone's like, well, it's so safe and sanitary because they gave you a Star Wars movie that you're actually supposed to like. And it's like, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I kind of like this Star Wars movie.
It's a fast-moving space adventure that has kills and thrills. Unlike those prequels when we're just saying, like, that would be mean to kill people. Let's have robots do it all. Well, I thought it was called the Clone Wars. Well, there's mostly robots.
Yeah, nary a battle droid in this movie. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't need the battle bots, fellas.
No battle droids. There's one faint room, kind of denigrating remark on the clones and the Clone Wars.
It is a knock on, like, oh, you have me, but you know, what do you want, a clone or something like that?
It's like, well, like the stormtroopers are doing such a bad job. Like, oh, we could add a clone army or whatever. And at the point of this recording, by the way, I like this movie so much. I saw it twice.
Totally.
I'm going to see it again.
I'm seeing it tomorrow, and I am, honest to goodness, right now, more excited to see this movie tomorrow than I am to see Batman and Superman in 4 months.
Sure.
Civil War in 7 months.
Yep.
I don't know. I kind of am excited about that Deadpool movie and that Apocalypse movie, but that's it. But, like, I am so much more excited to see this movie again than I am to see a lot of those things, and that's because this is kind of my nerd hole right here, guys, and I'm sorry if I'm hanging out in it too much.
You know what? No. You know what? Jump in because the water's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the way I feel about this.
And I was such a big fucking Star Wars geek, man.
I was convinced you were going to hate this movie.
Really?
Well, because you're the biggest Star Wars fan out of all four We Hate Movies cast members.
And I hated the prequels.
Well,
yeah. But the thing is, it's like, finally, now that I've matured into a man, I get the Star Wars movie I wanted after all that time.
And I'm looking at those toys like, God damn it. I actually was at Target today buying a last second Christmas present for my nephew. It wasn't a Star Wars thing, and it was ransacked. There was a Jar Jar Binks. I'm not even kidding. A Jar Jar Binks toy on the rack of, like, yeah, that's what's left. You're not getting a Poe Dameron on December 22nd.
Something rolled by, and you thought it was a BB-8 remote control robot, but it was actually just a fucking tumbleweed. Also, here's a great thing about watching a movie. It looks like a movie and not a bunch of people in front of a green screen for 3 hours.
Hey, that's cool.
I will say one negative thing that I think that there is a little too much CGI still. I feel like the Gleep Glock monsters that Han Solo was transporting were
me out of it a little bit.
That's a weak scene. That's the weak scene to me. I think that's when I actually went to the bathroom because I knew I was coming back. I knew I had to see it again in 4 days. I was like, you know what? This scene's kind of going on a little bit. I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I come back and Snoke's there. And I'm like, wait, who's this guy? I'm like, oh, Steve, you idiot.
Dude, man, when we went to go see this movie, me and my wife, I was like, we're not getting food. We're not getting a drink. I gotta see this. And then I was like, I need a drink. I need something. So I got a drink.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm just sitting there holding it.
Oh no!
For like an hour and a half.
That was the thing because I was in that holding it situation. That's why one of the reasons I actually don't like Skyfall all that much. The last hour I was like, shut the fuck up, James Bond. Because you get in that point when you're an old man and you're holding it and the blood's coming out of your eye holes and you're like, oh my god, I'm not enjoying this movie.
Crying blood like you're Le Chief or whatever. Yeah.
Dude, the same thing happened to me with Spectre.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake, let's just settle it already.
Exactly. And I didn't want to be in that position. That's why I was like, this fucking alien thing, I'm not digging it. I'm going to run out. And then they're like, this is the villain of the movies, but on screen for 2 minutes, Steve. Sorry.
But here's the thing. I think this movie and how much I was able to get into this movie may have actually caused me to myself use the Force a little bit.
Oh, okay.
See, we went and saw it at a draft house, an Alamo draft house, and so we get there, and it was like, bring on the booze, and sure. I got a...
That's danger. That's double danger right there.
I got a big old Bailey's milkshake, and I just chugged that thing down, and then I was like, you know what I need? A big old seltzer, which, by the way, $4.50 for a seltzer at Alamo draft house. Let's reconsider those prices, Tim League. But... So I fucking down this seltzer, and I'm just loving Star Wars. And then it hits me, and I was like, oh, no, I gotta go to the bathroom. And I had already learned a lesson during the screening because my wife went to the bathroom, and she missed the reveal of Rilo Ken being the son of Han Solo and Luke Skywalker. So she comes back from the bathroom, and I was like, this awesome thing just happened. So I was like, I can't miss a reveal like that. And I just, like... went into the movie and just totally made myself forget that I had to go to the bathroom. I've never been able to do that.
Can we talk about Rilo Ken and how much he's amazing? I think he's which I think that there should be a, if there is ever going to be, they're doing all these great spin-off movies, or maybe they're great, I don't know what Star Wars.
They're doing some spin-off movies. I don't know Let's keep what it they're going to
be.
For now.
They've set the stage for a lot of movies to be made, and some of them are spin-offs, which I don't know what those look like. I would love there to be a spin-off called We Need to Talk About Kylo Ren, because he's kind of a school shooter. Like, that's kind of what the character is. Like, he's like a kid that's gone too far. He backed the wrong horse, and like he got way too into the wrong things.
Yeah,
and like he can't go back now because he just killed his fucking dad.
The character is brilliant because it shows the fall to the dark side in a way I wish I saw with Anakin.
Yep.
You know, like you're a jerk child, and you're lashing out. He smashes up consoles and whatnot with his lightsaber whenever he gets peeved.
Oh yeah.
It's great. He's
got a lot of rage, which you don't see. Like, he's uncontrolled. Like, and it's very like another thing that people have a problem with is like, well, I've just seen this movie before. It's like they're saying it's basically an anagram of the episode 4.
Man, do I hate this argument?
It's not, because Vader is such a controlled villain, and he's like terrifying in his own way because of his control. This guy is even more terrifying because he's so unhinged, and he's just doing Vader cosplay, essentially.
Right? He's a neo-Nazi. That's what I think is great about it, because he's like, he's obsessed with what is the war crimes of his grandfather.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've all been there. And he wants to replicate that, but like in a way he doesn't know how to.
No.
And that kind of makes him even more dangerous in a way.
Absolutely.
Because he's willing to try anything.
He's so much scarier because he does have humanity and he's not just a monster. Like,
and Adam Driver against Hayden Christensen. I mean,
well, yeah.
Adam Driver is an excellent actor, and I have enjoyed him in everything that I've seen him in. And what's great is you want to talk about range. I mean, him in this movie versus him in Noah Baumbach's While We're Young, which I really enjoyed. It's on
which
my...
I really dislike.
But
I still haven't seen it.
So but I mean, I think he's really good for love or hate that character, whatever. Like that's
well, there's no bones about it. He's a good actor.
Right. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, they're so disparate of characters.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, like, and the other thing about, like, well, it's just, you know, an anagram. You know, you just move this piece there and, like, yeah, they have another Death Star. It's called, what's it called? Starkiller?
Yeah.
Which,
Starkiller, yeah.
It's, that's just nuclear proliferation. That's what happens. In 30 years,
yes.
Nuclear, like, also, watch Return of the Jedi, which is also great, and people have their problems with that too.
I think it's good. 2015,
yeah,
like 2 weeks ago, we rewatched it because the missus had never seen it, and I watched it with you know
I gotta
what
yell at that lady before I leave the house. But yeah, go on,
like adult eyes, and I was just like, oh no, wait a minute, like this is a really good movie.
It is.
I would even rate it above Force Awakens.
Yes,
and I love all three of the original trilogy.
The Death Star comes back, and it makes sense because like. What else can you do but destroy a planet? How do you do it with a Death Star?
Right.
What do you do in this one? It's 30 years later. We've got a bigger thing that's cooler, and it destroys a couple of planets.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool. I'm all on board. I have no problem with seeing it again. What do I want to see? Like, what, weird suicide bombing? Also, I don't. Thanks.
Also, like, the First Order and Kylo Ren, they just want to trump what the Empire did.
Yes.
Like, let's do what the Empire did, but a bit better, a bit bigger.
Which is how military works. How people like... And it is only 30 years later. It's not like it's 100 years later. So the technology isn't that much better. It's just a little bit better.
No, I totally agree with that. And that's why, like, when you're seeing these echoes, one, it's like, you know, things are cyclical. History repeats itself.
Yep.
You're influenced on things you already know about. Like, of course it would happen this way.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, yeah, that argument of like, it's all the same thing. Why wouldn't you try something different? It's like, because it's still the same story.
Right. Yeah,
it's still the same saga. You know what
like,
I mean?
What would you be happy with? I mean, there's still ships going up against ships.
Yep.
You still got that.
You got some Jedi motherfucking versus Star Wars in this movie.
Thank God for that.
Versus Dark Jedi. You got the essentials. You got what Star Wars is. Why do you want to change it?
And you have 3 to 4 really new the people say that this movie took it safe, which it totally didn't. I think
not at all for a reason we'll get to.
Yeah. You've got a female hero, which very not safe. You've got a black actor, very not safe as your secondary character, probably second hero. And a Latino actor as your third guy. These are your new characters that you latch on to, that you're pinning a new franchise on. That's not safe. And it's not blah, blah, blah by committee. These are great actors. They deserve to be in this movie. It's not...
It's not a by committee thing. The biggest like point that you can make about that is that like I'm not crazy about a lot of movies that J.J. Abrams has directed.
Mm.
I like enough of them fine.
Sure.
But the thing that you can say about all of them, and with the TV shows he's made too, like, he's great with casting.
Yes.
He's always been great with casting. And it's just more of that in this. It's not that argument of it's just some by committee libtard nonsense. Like, fucking suck it. Take it out back and fucking suck it.
And, like, that's your own hang up, man.
Yeah.
I'm literally the whitest man alive.
Yeah, I've seen you, dude. I could barely see you right now. This is a white room.
We did that.
I'm looking at the invisible man.
Yeah. When we did the live show in DC, everyone just couldn't believe how they had to look away from me. I was so bright. But
somebody turned those lights down. We can't see back here.
I was engrossed, and I loved all the characters.
Of course, and like you don't even think about that stuff until after the fact. And you give it a check mark. That's the right thing. And Finn is an amazing character. He's a fucking stormtrooper gone rogue. I've never seen that. I never thought I would see that. I think it's so cool.
I think there's now. Speaking of being the biggest Star Wars loser in the planet,
I said biggest Star Wars fan in the room.
I choose what I want to hear. But I think there's so many great nods to the EU that has been discredited, like with the stormtrooper having humanity.
Yep.
One of my favorite growing up short stories.
Oh, okay. Mm. Oh, it's not the Dead by James Joyce?
No. We didn't read James Joyce where I'm from.
Was it The Swimmer?
No.
But John Cheever? No.
No, the lottery? It was about the stormtrooper that said, "Look, sir, droids." They had a whole story about his backstory about being.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding
you. Is it called Look, Sir, Droids?
No, I don't remember what it was called. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it was called
Look, Sir, Droids, Sir.
Oh, wait a second. Let me take that again. That's the start of it.
But, parentheses. Oh, wait. Let me take that again.
But it was like the conflicted humanity of being a stormtrooper. And right. It was awesome to see that explored. And they explored it in this also great, amazing, dumping the Darth name. Because in the EU after that, it was always Dark Jedi. It was just being a bad guy. And that's what I'm thinking about, like with this whole mythology of it. Leaving this, potentially leaving the Sith behind would right. be great, because then you're not, it's like you can still be force sensitive and adhere to the dark side without yep. adhering to the religious practices
right.
of and a former sect that they worshipped do, it in, they, in a certain way.
They do say the Sith in passing in a way in which it sounds like it's not coming back, but that was just my...
Can you remind, I don't remember what the line was.
They say something like, it's like... I kind of don't remember. Well, I'll tell you when I see it tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Fair enough.
Text me. But I need that text.
I'm sorry, Andrew, you say.
I was going to say the interesting thing, because I remember being a little kid, and when I first saw Star Wars, I thought that the stormtroopers were just robots.
Sure.
And I thought that for age, probably longer than I should have, that they were robots. Because they all look the same, and I was like a little kid.
Metallic voice.
Well, I always thought they were human flesh, but go on.
But what I loved about what they set up with John Boyega's character is the idea that it's kind of like a reference to... things like African child armies, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we're ripping these kids from homes, we're mm-hmm. giving them guns and saying, like, you got to kill your fucking family and then we're going to get out of here and you can be part of my... And they're, like, brainwashing, like, mm-hmm. actual, like, kidnap kids. Like, it's so takes this stuff to another more thoughtful level than just, like, oh, these could possibly be robots. Like, there's no way a little kid will watch Force Awakens and think, like, they would never misconstrue that the stormtroopers were robots. You know what I mean?
And you do get to see in that first scene...
Oh, it's so good.
...starring Max von Sydow. Oh!
Sydow!
Sydow! Who gets murdered immediately. Spoiler alert. You do, again, finally get to see the stormtroopers do some filthy, dirty work.
Oh,
which you kind of... It's edged... Mm-hmm. It's assumed in the movies. They're always kind of on guard patrol in the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, this is why they're stormtroopers. They go into towns and they murder glip-glop aliens with flamethrowers and laser blasts.
And they don't fucking blink about it.
God bless J.J. Abrams for immediately... establishing there's blood in this movie.
Yep. Yes.
Where that bloody hand touches his helmet.
It's a really effective image.
It's awesome. So I mean, it's also like a nice device to single him out when you're like looking at the frame.
Also, you know, that blaster shot from Poe Dameron that just stays in the air for the entire scene.
That's badass.
I'm actually seeing it in 3D tomorrow, which just to give it a shot.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see what that looks like in 3D. I hope it looks really cool.
I hope they bothered to do so. That's the one thing I didn't know about this movie, if it was like considered during production or if 3D was just a post thing.
Like, I'm hoping that
like
that's
most things.
Yeah. We can talk about our friend Han Solo here, I guess, sure. To round it out.
Let's do it.
He's great. Harrison Ford giving a shit. Harrison Ford, like, it's so much better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Like, he has his hands around this character, and it's this character.
Also, amazing part when he's in, I guess, that freighter he's operating now instead of the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
And he just grabs some dude and tosses him into the mouth of that monster.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Validation.
That is, I believe, everyone saying Han shot first.
Of course he did.
He's a cold-blooded killer, and that's the appeal of his character. That's how you live in that kind of universe.
Mm-hmm.
I love him using Chewie's... Like, this movie has so many, like, little... And it's smart, because... And, you know, people are like, it gives you everything you want. Fuck that movie.
Dare you give me things I want?
It gives you all these little things you kind of always thought about but never thought you wanted to see, like... a rebel and a TIE fighter. That's pretty fucking cool.
Right.
It has Han using Chewie's crossbow only for like the whim of it, and it's kind of really funny. Like,
it's like he's like, "Can I try that out?" You know?
Yeah, that's love that. It's so, you know, good.
People complaining about things like that. It's like all Star Wars movies are supposed to have comedic moments.
Yes,
it's supposed to be fun.
That was the revelation for me watching the movie. Was I had the thought, "Oh my god, this movie is making me laugh," but it's intentionally doing so.
Yes.
I'm not laughing at lines like, you know, pick up our Sithmentary. Yeah. You know, I'm not laughing at the movie. I'm not laughing at the acting. Like, I'm laughing at jokes that they are purposefully putting in these movies.
Yeah, let's compare. Like, now, people, you know, I'm fine with BB-8. I'm totally on board.
I'm a big fan.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to buy that to annoy my cat, but it's $150. so it's a little too much to annoy my cat with.
Try to annoy that cat after Christmas.
Yeah, so you get some cheap.
He does the thumbs up with the fire thing.
Oh, my
back
God.
At him.
Yep.
And that's a comedic moment. Compare that to the prequels where R2 is overcompensating, doing way too much of that, flying around, doing
urinating on people with his oil
having
shaft,
50 arms inside his body, and like it's people can complain about this movie all they want, but like it's actually using restraint in
a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have a question, Eric, and you've thought about this movie more than I have. Why does R2-D2 shut down for the movie? Like, that was the one part I was like, what's the magic here? Like, why does, like, and he only conveniently turns on at the end. That was my one, like, somewhat beef with
this
film.
Can I just guess?
Oh, please. No, please.
I thought it was Skywalker protocol.
Oh, really?
I thought it was Luke mandated.
I think that might be a possibility. I don't know the actual way R2-D2 works altogether.
Okay, but that's why I asked you.
You don't have those tattoos tattooed on those schematics tattooed on your back?
I saw people complaining about, like, well, why didn't the Resistance just like hack into them and take all that information? Well, those are like encrypted files meant for certain people. If you watch A New Hope, which I hope you have, you know, yeah. Help Me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, You're My Only Hope was only meant to be broadcasted to certain people.
True.
It was a glitch that Luke even saw it, but
that's very true. Talking about why this movie isn't safe. How about we make a Justice League movie, right? Let's make four Justice League movies.
Sure.
First three Justice League movies.
Let's do it.
All your friends and fans in it.
Doing it.
I'll be Aquaman.
The fourth one, yeah, we're going to kill Batman. Yeah, we're just going to kill Batman. And don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Oh, and we're also going to have Superman only look at the camera and not talk. That's a safe movie, right? That's what a movie you would call is safe.
Yeah, it's super safe. What the fuck? What the flying fuck? Like,
Han Solo
come on.
Gets murdered and Luke doesn't say a fucking word in this movie. Man, what is safe about that?
It has stones, and thank God that it does. You know,
I was reading a thing where J.J. Abrams was talking about one of the original drafts of the script was Han and Leia like meet back up and like patch everything up and ride off into the sunset, and like, what this does is it adds weight and stakes to this. It is saying that, like, this is in a world that is not fan service. Like, no. I'm sorry. Murdering one of my favorite movie characters of all time.
Yep.
And this is, I was talking
a
to
pop a, culture icon. Sorry.
I was talking to a coworker about this, and she said one of the things she realized was now whenever it is, she will go back to watch the original trilogy. Like, you know, when Han first comes out in New Hope, she will think, I know how you die.
Yeah.
And what a powerful thing to do in that movie. And it's fucking brutal.
It is.
Because it's not just a lightsaber through and you're falling down. He fucking jacks it up through his father's fucking guts.
And
dude,
it's not Ben, it's analogous to Ben Kenobi, right? Yes, it happens at the same part of the movie.
Yep.
People look on. People say no. I get that. But Ben Kenobi basically commits like seppuku. You know what I mean? He's like, this is the time for me to die. Right. I want to die.
And he will live on.
Exactly. This is a regular man that kind of believes in the Force that's just trying to connect to his son that gets ganked.
And that's the other thing. There will be no Han Solo Force Ghost. He's just a guy.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's like, he fucking falls. And that's the other thing, too. It's nice that he falls down that shaft. Because one of the other fall downs the shaft was Luke. Yep. Luke falls down that shaft and he fucking probably uses the Force to catch himself on the thing at the bottom of Cloud City
yep.
and whatever. And it's like, first of all, no one's saying that that's fucking convenient.
No, no.
Sorry.
He's a man. He's got a dick.
Yeah.
Nothing's convenient for somebody with a dick. That's just how the world works.
But he's gone forever.
Yes.
Like at the end of episode 9, we're not going to be fucking dancing with whoever. and Harrison Ford's going to be fucking waving and giving a thumbs up. He's dead forever.
Right. And, you know, they're getting older and they need to pass this torch or, you know, like we, I as much as I loved Harrison Ford in this movie, I think it was the right move.
Totally.
I couldn't have two more movies of him progressing and progressing in age.
And, you know, you do see him step on that platform. You're like, well, he's dead. Like, you get a little ahead of the movie, which is, it has to happen.
I mean, that's just semiotics of storytelling. That's how we just watch things and understand.
This is also just a classic scene because I've been walking around my house all week going, Ben!
Oh, it's such a great reveal.
Yes,
also great.
Great reveal that his real name is
this
Ben.
This movie, I mean, again, getting Star Wars right, this has some of the best Chewbacca in all the trilogies.
I think it's the best Chewbacca of all time.
Because not only is he an integral character, he's doing stuff. At the end, when they're setting the charges, destroying a Death Star, thank you, Chewbacca.
he blows him, man.
Han Solo is like, oh, let's do this, that, and the other thing. We'll put him up there. And then, and Chewie goes, grr, and he goes, oh, actually, yeah, that's a better idea. Let's do this. That's such a cool detail that mm-hmm. you never see. He's not just a number two. He's a smart.
That's a blink and you miss it. He corrects Han Solo, and they go with his plan, and it
works.
It kind of works. Poe Dameron has to come in and finish it off.
Of course. But
it's pretty much on point.
And when Han dies, it's one thing, but when you see fucking Chewie in that Millennium Falcon by himself.
Oh, my goodness gracious. When the Falcon comes up to get Rey,
mm-hmm.
and he's alone in that cockpit,
oh, yeah.
I fucking lost it.
The vacuum of space, more like the vacuum in my heart.
And it's amazing because I'm sitting there like, you are a 31-year-old man.
Oh, yeah, dude, you're an
crying
adult.
At a 7-foot dog sitting alone in a spaceship. How successful is this movie that's what it's reduced you to?
Let's talk about General Hux real quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got it.
How awesome was that before? That speech?
Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah, and I've people critiquing, like, why would he bring all these troops together and give a speech? Because it's a fucking movie.
Also, he's a fascist dictator. That's what they get hard off of.
That's what they
Everybody gather around. I got to say some hate speech.
Guess what? Blowing those planets up are secondary to the feeling and power you get from yelling this stuff from a balcony. And
also, sorry, go ahead.
I love the interplay, and I'm glad that Hux doesn't die on the Starkiller like Grand Moff Tarkin does.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, analogous. Get it. I get it. But like,
yeah, I got it.
But like, he's going to continue, and that power struggle with him, Kylo Ren, and Snoke is going to continue, and that's a really interesting dynamic.
And that's what I fucking loved about this Hux character, is he's not scared of Kylo Ren.
No, of course not.
Like that, but that's in the original trilogy.
Right.
Like, yeah. Grand Moff Tarkin is, like, scared of Darth Vader. Like, Darth Vader is the dude, and he's fucking choking people out, and this, that, and the other thing. They go before the Snoke hologram, and Hux is like, well, sorry that this didn't work out, dude, but that guy fucked it up. That dude right there keeps fucking it up.
Yes.
Yeah. And no way would anybody do that to Darth Vader. This dude actually has the fucking stones to do that.
Right. It's interesting that Snoke has kind of a different relationship. It's not like the way the Emperor and Vader were like such chums.
No.
Yeah.
Like, he's got two kids, and he's not going to pick favorites necessarily.
But although, if I was Hux, and, you know, like, Dad's like, oh, that's great, you did such a great job, me and your brother are going to hang out for a little bit longer, go away, I'd be like, dude, fuck that guy.
Well, Hux, you continue to clean the house while Kylo Ren and I go fishing all weekend.
That's what that is, right? That's exactly what that is.
It is.
Well, maybe that's going to play into the next episode 8 or something. maybe the Colonel Hux fucking spin-off movie is going
to
have that.
Can you imagine, though, if in one of these new movies, like these movies yet to come, there's like a fight between Hux and Kylo Ren? Like, how cool would that be?
It's gonna. It might happen. I don't know.
Also, this is an interesting detail that I don't know if anyone gives a shit about. But
go ahead.
Let's find out.
Throughout the history of the Empire, we've seen mostly leaders hugely recognized as being admirals. You know,
yep.
You'd Admiral Piet and whatnot. Ozzel, R.I.P.D. Wow. I guess R.I.P.D. all of them.
Yeah, they're all gone.
You know what? They're all gone.
But, congratulations, Admiral Nida.
Well, it's Captain Nida, and apologies were accepted. But
Oh, wow.
Holy shit. That guy's a loser. Holy shit. Did you hear what he just said?
People are ready to doubt.
Yeah. So he's General Hux. And it's interesting because the Starkiller base is part of a planet. So technically, his main dominance is ground force.
Which
is interesting to me because the only other general I believe we've seen on screen in Star Wars, not counting the prequels, was General Veers with leading the assault on Hoth.
Oh, what's his face from Game of Thrones and Last Crusade?
Yes, yes. He played Donovan in Last Crusade and Pycelle on Game of Thrones.
Sorry, everybody. We know that guy is a character. Fine.
It's a good thing that you discounted the prequels because I was going to bring up everyone's favorite character, General Grievous.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Solo's a general.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, he does.
And he does lead the ground forces on the moon of Endor.
And I think that it's cool that it's not a Death Star. It's a planet that's been hollowed out for this.
That's pretty fucking badass. And it's clear, like,
there's like trees and shit. We get that awesome, like, super samurai fight at the end. I love this.
That fight's great. The thing I was wondering about the planet was, like, was it due to their, like, engineering to make this planet a weapon, what caused it to be a snow planet like that?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, probably.
Like, they like kept fucking with it and, like, you know, something went wrong and now it's just this cold planet.
So they suck all the energy out of the, I mean, like, fuck you, Neil deGrasse Tyson, pencils down, but they suck all the energy out of the sun and then it goes back eventually. Is that the idea?
Well, I think what were you talking about the very end?
General, like when they blow it up and they're about to do it again.
They suck it out and then they shoot it all across the galaxy at these other planets that cooks them up.
Yes.
And then it's all gone and then they have to recharge by sucking in another sun.
Oh, another sun. Okay, that was my question. I didn't know if they sucked it to the bone or sucked to the pit and then it came back out.
That is a pretty good question because maybe they hollowed out a planet that had multiple suns.
Sort of like how
Tatooine had two suns.
You want to get the most suns out of your bargain.
Well, yeah, because you can't move this thing, right?
Probably not.
It's only one, like, Star Killer per galaxy, and then you got to go build another one.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe for the first shot, they had half a tank, and they took the rest of the sun after it.
It's a good question.
I guess if you take the sun, maybe your orbit would go crazy, and it wouldn't really work, but it's a movie.
Again, Neil deGrasse Tyson, it's fine, Neil. Neil.
But
Neil,
also,
get off Twitter.
Talk about Moontrap if you want to talk about something.
Yeah, and I thought it was so cool that, like, once the Star Killer pace becomes unstable and goes, it just becomes the sun again. Like, all the energy that didn't get fired just destroys the planet, and they're flying away from it, and it's this bright ball of light. It's like becoming a sun again.
Oh, that's pretty badass.
I never really put that together, but that's pretty awesome.
I really like Carrie Fisher in this movie. The one thumbs down I give, her scene when the mission ends, like, I love that she uses the Force and knows that Solo is dead immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, because she's, like, kind of agnostic, but not...
She's attuned. She's not, like, a huge user, but
she's not a practicing Jedi. Right.
Well, especially after your son kills everybody, you're like, you know what? That religion's kind of hokey.
Yeah.
the scene with her, she looks at Rey and she has that moment. That moment's got to be Chewbacca, man. Chewbacca moment.
No. And here's why I think, anyway.
Okay.
Because one of the things that it fucking gutted me again, mere minutes after the gutting of him sitting in that cockpit alone, is that they get off the Millennium Falcon and everyone's coming up like, hey, who made it?
Yeah.
And Chewbacca walks right past her.
Oh, yeah?
He just keeps going. He can't. Because the whole thing of, like, Han freeing him from slavery, he fucking owes his life to him, blah, 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 blah. Chewbacca considers himself a failure, and he cannot stop acknowledge, like, sorry, I let Han Solo down, and he walks right past her. And I was like, oh!
I love that he gets a shot off on Kylo Ren. It's a kill shot, too. It's right to his chest.
Yep. Oh, he's not fucking around.
I love it.
So I guess we can wrap up with Mark Hamill, right?
Yeah, what's going to happen?
Luke Skywalker, man. Luke, did you ever think you would see Luke Skywalker on a movie screen again?
No.
Yeah,
no fucking way,
not
right?
Not a million years. And it was a big... I love the Ben Kenobi outfit. I am team. I hope she's not related to Luke Skywalker.
Really?
Yeah.
I just imagine she is. I don't.
You're probably right.
I was gathering as well.
I don't really care.
It's not going to ruin anything for me. But if you're asking some fat loser in Jersey City wearing a Galactus T-shirt,
find one of those?
Yeah.
Is that what that T-shirt is?
Yeah, it's a Galactus T-shirt.
I thought it was some sort of a Pokemon.
No, it's a little bit of both.
Gotta catch them all, man.
I would rather she's not related. I just want it to be like, oh, it's just another.
It'd be cool if it was a new thing instead of
maybe she's
on
Wedge's
this...
daughter, dude.
Where the fuck was Wedge Antilles in this movie?
I don't know, but they released so much shit leading up to The Force Awakens, the journey to The Force Awakens, including the novel Aftermath, which was all right. I like some of the characters. I like how they introduce a lot of things. But one great thing was Wedge Antilles is like all over that book.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh, nice.
And he's been all over the books before.
Of course.
Not a real surprise. But I wouldn't be surprised if he somehow is factored in a way.
Was that the book? Was Aftermath the one where all those dipshits got up in arms because there was a gay character?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And
fuck all those people too.
And sure. The gay characters in that book are the best parts of that book by far.
Episode 8 can be opened on Han Solo's funeral. Can we get some Lando Calrissian? I need. A little bit of Lando in my life.
Here's the thing about that, dude. I think just in my recent days
drowning,
of like,
hey, Chewbacca, you buying this one or am I?
Here's the thing, though. In my recent days of IMDb-ing all these people, I think Billy Dee Williams is pushing 80. And, like, God forbid. You know what I mean? Like, it would be cool. But I'm just like, you know, knock on wood, I hope we can do it. Yeah. It would be awesome. You're totally right. The
hologram.
Two of them just drinking. You can't.
How you doing, Chewbacca? Han what?
Oh, man, it opens with Han or Lando getting the call. The thing that I thought was really powerful, and it was best put together by a friend of the show and WHM fan favorite, Justin J. Case, because he and I were texting up a storm about this.
That guy will talk your ear off about Star Wars. God bless him.
Oh, yeah. He sent me a text. He just said it was something like, you know, did you see it or what did you think? Like, he knew I saw this movie. Yeah. And we just were at it for a while. And what he put together that was so great is, like, when she gets up to the cliff and Luke is looking out over the cliff, it's like Luke Skywalker has been watching the movie with us. Like, he's seen everything that's happened.
He's felt it.
Including the fucking murder of his best friend in the galaxy by his failed apprentice, or the apprentice that he feels he has failed.
Sure. Right.
And my God, the dog shit that he has to be feeling inside.
Oh,
and when
yeah.
she comes up and she's like, lightsaber time. And he's like, you know, it's like Doc Brown and the Libyans. Like, I don't know how they found me. They found me. You know,
yeah, he's got a really powerful look he's got going on.
It really, and man, it is a testament to fucking Mark Hamill just being the best, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's no lines. And, like, again, if you have a problem with the fact that he doesn't speak in this movie, you don't understand how to make things smarter than what you want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
because he says 1,000 things by saying nothing.
Like, and yes, exactly. And this has to be a movie, and it can't be you playing with your action figures.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's the best way to put it.
And, like, come on, I'm a guy with a couple action figures myself. I know the temptation.
I might have a few more after January. Right now, they're all off the shelves.
Steve's fingers crossed for some Target gift cards from Santa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought the introduction of Luke Skywalker was great, and it was powerful. And I'm excited to see where 8 goes. By the way, I really hope Snoke doesn't turn out to be Darth Plagueis, like some theories are going around.
Oh, you sent me that fan theory stuff today, and I just had to go to the bathroom and throw up.
Yeah, apparently some of the musical cues are similar to when Palpatine's telling the story.
I think I'm fine with that, maybe. Like,
I just
don't want those prequels acknowledged.
I mean, like, it's going to have to happen. It's like, all I can say is I'm hoping it's not Jar Jar Binks manipulating a hologram. Misa's such a good hologram maker. Misa gonna make a guy that looks like Andy Serkis.
No one's gonna do that. Because everyone working on Star Wars from now on has fucking standards.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I mean, I guess they could, you know, making it Darth Plagueis isn't the worst thing in the world, but I just feel like, let's move on a little bit.
This franchise seems like it's moving on in a big way.
Yeah, no, it totally does. Also, we didn't talk about it, but Oscar Isaac's awesome.
Oh my god, oh man.
He's the new Han Solo. Definitely.
And he might be a secret Jedi, you never know.
Do you think that's possible?
Well, in the Shattered Earth comics... Shattered Earth. That's...
What was that old man laugh?
that was a fucking Ian McDiarmid laugh.
Well, because I was just thinking about what I want to do to Earth. All right, you know, if you haven't read those comics and you have an interest too, they're only 4 issues.
Spoiler
for those comics. But Poe Dameron's mother is like a crack pilot, and she goes on a mission with Luke Skywalker to liberate there were apparently force sensitive trees that were stolen from the Jedi temple that the Empire had taken, and they liberate them, and one is given to the Dameron family. So Poe Dameron has grown up with a force tree in his backyard.
So what
does that mean?
Can you,
does
like,
it mean anything?
Absorb the force like that?
Question mark, possibly.
Yeah. It might be a rebuke of the Metachlorian thing.
But a crack pilot most of the time sometimes is a sign that you're really good with the force. You know
right,
what I mean?
Like Skywalker and Anakin. About Luke
Unless
Skywalker.
You're a stupid woman and it means you're just a fucking convenience-making shitty character.
Man, how did she know how to use the word without the generator?
And it's just like, dude.
Well, she better use the force to make me a goddamn sandwich.
Says the world's biggest piece of shit, Mary Sue. Fuck yourself, son of a director.
Yeah, exactly. Son, underline. Thank God I'm not a daughter. So people are misremembering A New Hope a little bit, I think, because it's like, okay, Luke Skywalker hangs out with Obi-Wan Kenobi for a little bit. He fights a ball shooting lights at him, which
for like 38 seconds
also has a cameo in the movie.
Oh, I didn't see him.
When Finn goes into the Millennium Falcon, he tosses it aside.
I saw the chessboard. The game popped up. Was cool.
And then he uses the force to destroy the fucking Death Star. Yep. So could we shut up about how the fact that this girl, you know, like, it happened already, dude. It happened in A New Hope.
But it's tits and vagina, dude, and they can't do that stuff.
Not possible. Not possible. I would say Neil deGrasse Tyson better look at that, because how can a woman ever use the force?
That'd be some fucking tweet, dude.
That is our on-screen on Star Wars Episode 7. The Force Awakens.
Oh, we all liked it. Did we all say that?
Would you recommend this movie? Yeah, I would.
Yeah, it turns out.
It's good. It's good stuff.
It's a good one. So, I can't wait to see it again. I'm jealous that Steve has tickets and I don't.
Shameless plug. We have some prints up on the We Hate Movies Etsy page.
Pay. What was that? Oof.
That's 3 beers later. Well, yep. WHM. Go to Etsy. Search WHM Podcast. We have some cool prints from our DC show. Check them out and buy them.
And if you want more Star Wars, because we're just plugging at the end of this thing, our Sithmentary, it's out now, cdbaby.com.
And that's a commentary track to Revenge of the Sith, which we did not like very much.
No, but as I wish I could remember the handle, as some genius on Twitter said. I don't know why I said genius so slanderously like that, because I think he is a genius. We found a way to make Revenge of the Sith watchable.
Oh, that's nice.
That's what this gentleman said.
But we also had a couple people telling us to go F ourselves.
Ooh, wow.
About Attack of the Clones and Sith.
Ooh, yeah. Sick burn. F ourselves.
It's a hashtag hot take to like the prequels right now, in case you're wondering.
it's a contrarian thing to do, and it happens to be the wrong thing to do.
Hashtag at least it's different, question mark, whatever.
Yeah. Question mark, whatever, indeed. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
And I am Eric Siska.
Take it easy.